This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Saturday mornings with Danny Baker on 5 Live.
They say time is of the essence. They say time will always tell. A waste of time and constant panic. There's a roam around me fell.
And when you look back at some of the things that this nation has gifted to the world, pop music's pretty much right up at the top. And the names trip off the tongue. You know, you've got you've got your Searchers, who gave them to the world. You've got your Goldie and the Gingerbreads, who gave them. The Barren Knights. And so that's why we have the reputation. Equally, you have UK Squeeze. Glenn Tilbrook and Chris Difford, whose encomiums are probably well known to everybody, good enough to join us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hello.
And let's not be coy about it. This is Song in the Background, was the remains the theme tune to Cradle to the Grave, the series based on my own books. But I'll give them as hard time as we give everybody who comes in at 10 o'clock. I.e., I'm going to say, I think you're great. but it's Squeeze is not an on-off thing. What's the matter with you? You're pulling a face like you're having a tooth pulled.
I've got a bad back, sorry.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
That's all right. We've all got two of them.
Hey!
No joke. Glenn, it's an on-off thing. People say, are Squeeze together at the moment? Are they not together? Are they not going to make an album for 17 years again? What is the current state of play of the band?
The current state of play of the band is it's together in a very fluid way. I think Chris and I have got a really good thing whereby we drift in and out of each other's lives, and it's always nice when we're together. It's always nice to do something different.
I'm not going to sit there. It's always nice when we're together. Notoriously, you're like Mike and Bernie Winters. You don't talk when you're at the end.
Little unloved, surely.
I'm not going to suggest for a second that you're great friends, but it is, as one of your tours, an odd couple, aren't you?
Yeah.
But at the moment, everything's fine.
It's a wonderful odd couple.
Yeah.
And as Glenn says, you know, it's been great to get back together to record this album.
Yep.
And it's really brought a very strong fluidity to
it. It was, say, yes,
it's a really great album.
It was partially inspired by, needing a soundtrack for the thing, but it was a great album.
It gave us the focus, really, and it's just brought Glenn and I closer together. It's made the band very, very tight, because before that, we were sort of playing our own hits, and there weren't any new songs, and now we can go on stage and just play all the new songs, and people love them.
Yeah, it really was an extraordinary. And also, it was the idea that that you do something different with them. And I don't like to go and see bands, to be absolutely honest. Actually, I could end that sentence there. I don't like to go and see bands, but I don't like when they mess around with their hits and they do avert. But what the new band has brought to it really works, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah, it's great.
Give name to the other members of the band, because I understand Jules Holland is no longer in.
He's drifted apart.
Who is the band these days?
Stephen Large on keyboards, Lucy Shaw on bass, Simon Hansen on drums, Melvin Duffy on pedal steel and mandolin and stuff, and then there's me and Mr. Difford.
Lucy's something. Lucy's got that Tina Weymouth thing going on the rest of you can go and take a smoke as far as anyone's concerned.
Yeah.
She's great.
She is great. She looks great, plays great.
Yeah, she does. What was the best year for Squeeze? It's such an odd question, but what was the year you actually look back and think that was the year everything happened? We were touring a lot, which I know Chris isn't that big fan of. What was the big year for Squeeze?
The last one.
This last one, don't say that. That's a catch-all. You're going to tell me Madison Square Gardens and all that was just a blip. What? That must have been...
Well, no, because I can remember what happened last year. I can't remember Madison Square Gardens as well as I can remember the Albert Hall, which was last year, and it was full and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
There's a lot more sort of focus on it.
I think there's... I'm going to say 1978, because that's the first year that we toured America.
Yeah.
And, we had a really weird experience of going out there for 3 weeks and staying for 2 months. Because there wasn't really a circuit established.
Oh.
As on the back of Freddie Laker's flights and all that stuff.
I think
we were the second band, new wave band, to get out there. So we were going and trying out venues for what would eventually be an established sort of circuit. but many of which didn't make it through. For instance, we played in the disco where they filmed the dance sequence for Saturday Night Fever.
Did you?
Yes, we did. And in that gig, there were some theatrical costumes which we donned and played. We had no audience there whatsoever.
Oh.
But the flashing lights were underneath the dance floor.
It did all that, did it?
We saw all that because there weren't that many people there to cover it up, you know.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to play a little game here. We'll get around to some questions in a minute. You know, I like that. Now, you haven't brought your guitars in.
No.
But that doesn't mean you can't sing for your supper. I've got a bunch of karaoke records here.
No,
half of them are yours. Half of them are yours. Now, you don't have to sing them all the way through. We're just going to have a look. Half of them are yours. Half of them are not yours. And I warn you, three of them are Eurovision songs. I've got lyrics here, so you're not getting out of that. They're numbered number 1 to 12 here. I'll go with you first, Chris. Give me a number between 1 and 12.
12.
Number 12 itself. Okay, number 12, it's one of yours. Now, what you can do with it's one of yours, you can either give us, you can hum along to it.
Mm-hmm.
Humming is good. Or you can just tell us what hearing it evokes in you. Yes,
yeah.
Here we go. This is number 12. And...
Wow, where did you get this?
This is a karaoke version. It's pretty good. I think someone's nicked your backing tracks because it's really good. Look at Glenn's face.
That's us.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
Well, it's on... I downloaded it, and it happened with Status Quo. I did this with Status Quo, and they said, that is us. Anyway, but or maybe it's just genius session musicians. Is that you?
That is me.
Is it? Well, this is downloaded from one of those, karaoke hits earning a fortune on iTunes. Is that you?
Well, I...
Listen.
It's him. Without on, shadow of a doubt.
Well, I do apologise. I seem to have bootlegged you. Anyway, this is Muscles from Michelle. I'll give you the details of it so you can send your bulldog
invoice.
Lawyers in. Invoice, isn't it?
Backdated.
Where were you, just in the terms of writing on it, what do you remember, where were you and the writing and recording of this?
We were in a really lovely studio in Chelsea called Sound Techniques, now turned into a housing development long ago, but it was just off the King's Road. And we had a great time there, actually. We did the Call for Cats album, then RG Bargy, which this one's from. And it was a great time for the band because we were all together. We were happy. We hadn't got sort of too, fed up with the
whole
thing.
Was this one of those where you like you're seeing a film where you listen to it back and they say, son, you just made your first hit at number one. Did you know when you had Mushroom Show that this is a hit all over, all day?
I remember thinking, I think we flew to Australia as soon as we finished it, and so we had a tape of the record on the flights over.
Hang on, hold on. Is this you?
No.
Listen.
No.
No, that is not me.
No. It's not. Come on.
Oh, you want to disown the bits? Oh, well, that's
no
cleared that up.
Okay, well, that's good.
Why did you write the lyric to this?
Why did I write the lyric? Well, I wrote it because it reminded me of those days going down to holiday camps in Whitstable and mm-hmm. Laysdown. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course, Laysdown. Yeah.
So it would have been sort of inspired by that sort of lifestyle. Yeah.
All right, give me a number.
I'm going to go for number one.
Number one. Oh, it's one of yours again. You're playing this well. Okay, and this won't be you, by the way.
It's definitely not us.
No, it's definitely not us. But so, Label We Love. Hum. Ready to hum it. Ready?
It's like a Western.
I was born. Actually, you could sing that quite well. Again, for a band who burst onto the punk scene, to suddenly do a country song was a bit of a leap. Was it always meant to be from your lyric like this?
No, the great thing about writing with Glenn is I never know which direction we're going to go off in. So when the lyric was written, although it could be transmitted as a sort of country style lyric, I didn't think it would go in that direct direction.
Yeah.
But the thing I remember most about this song was being on the Kid Jensen show and him saying, oh, so, you know, what sort of music is this? And I went, it's country music.
It's country music. Well, of course, your stutter is... when you sing, you don't stutter, which is always...
I've done it again. Sorry.
Well, you know, the thing is, your stutter has got so good over the years, because when I first met you, I used to say to you, for God's sake, sing it. For God's sake, sing it. How have you done that? Because we've all seen the King's Speech. How did you I've got to say, I was sitting at your wedding. I was sitting at your wedding with Peter Kay.
Yeah.
And when you got up to give your speech, he said, here we go, the King's Speech. I know, it was really rotten. But how did you overcome that?
Drugs?
No, you didn't.
No, I mean, I haven't really overcome it.
Because all for a while. Was that linked up with the boozing and everything else?
No, I had it when I was at primary school, and they sent me to a place at the end of Deptford High Street for elocution lessons. It's to make you sort of speak slower. But I didn't really pay any attention to that.
I was going to say, because if you'd sung My Generation, it would have been a boom, of course. But
Yeah.
And why did this end up country then?
It just did. I wasn't going to play this song. This is a story I've told before, I know, but you know, I didn't think this was a squeeze song, and I was going to play a different track to
it. Why didn't you think it was a squeeze song?
Because it was a country song.
Yeah.
It just came out, it seemed like such an obvious country music thing. And I wasn't going to play it to the band, but Elvis heard it and said, well, why don't we do that? So we did. And it, you know, it works.
Of course, it's Elvis Costello who had all the songs
getting
under his belt.
And, you know, he gave us the courage to, you know, explore a few different things that we hadn't done before.
And is this your biggest hit? Or Tempted?
Tempted.
Tempted more than that?
Tempted, definitely, yeah.
Okay, give me another number, Chris. What you got?
Look at that. That's terrible. That's really rough.
It really is.
Nine.
Number nine. Number nine, right, get the song sheets out. Here we go. It's Eurovision Day, and I'm sure you're aware of Puppet on a String. Of course you're aware of Puppet on a String by Sandy Shaw. Here you go.
Oh, I get one.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, and to celebrate the great lineage of pop history...
Should I take my shoes and socks off?
Do you know, it took me years to figure out Sandy Shaw was Sandy Shaw. I didn't realise it was a pun. Never did. Didn't get that until I was about 30-odd. Sandy Shaw did not get that.
Right.
All right, so we're going to...
I've only just got it myself.
For Puppet on a String, we're going to go for here. In your own time, we'll try this, because this is what they're up against tonight. Besting this. Here we go. One, two, three, four.
I wonder if one day that you say that you care. If you
still
love me madly, I'll gladly be there. Like a puppet on a string.
Ladies and gentlemen, Squeeze, sing Puppet on a String. One verse, and then we'll be into it. Here we go.
Love is just like a merry-go-round with all the fun of the fair.
One day I'm feeling down on the ground. Here we go.
Then I'm up in the air.
Are you leading me on? Come on, Lindsay.
Are you leading me on?
Tomorrow will you be gone?
Tomorrow will you be gone?
One more chorus. Everybody at home.
I wonder if one day that you'll say that you care. If you say you love me madly, I'll gladly be there. Like a puppet on a string.
That's a superb. Well done, gentlemen. Oh, I appreciate it. Have you never...
They don't write them like that anymore.
No, they certainly don't. They didn't write them like that in the day. Have you ever even been slightly tempted to write for Eurovision or some other genre like that?
Well, we've never been asked, funnily enough. And I heard somebody on the radio talking about it yesterday saying, you know, why have we... It was the guy from ABBA, Bjorn.
Oh, yeah.
saying, why is it why is England, you know, why is the Britain never had a sort of hit for so many years on the Eurovision? He says it's because they don't ask the right writers.
That's true enough. But it's not, there's no...
It's more of a production now.
Yeah. Bowie had a go, didn't he? You know, Bowie had a go.
Did he really?
Yes, he tried to do Eurovision. He did so many things, didn't he, before he was...
Wow.
He didn't do... It wasn't Man Who Sold the World, was it?
No. He just was offered songs. Not as a performer. I mean, he liked to perform, but just offered them. Like, he tried to rewrite My Way for a while. But on one of your lyrics, when you say you didn't get many covers, there aren't that many covers of Squeeze songs, are there?
It's because we're so unique.
That's what it is. That's
what obvious.
It is. But do you like to write for other people, Glenn?
Sure, I'd love to write for other people, but I'm happiest writing for us. You know, I think we've got something going that's uniquely us, and I don't know if it translates to other people.
And how's the world market now? They embraced you back again. I mean, I know you're going to Japan yourself, aren't you?
We did a tour of Japan. It was 6 dates. It was great, actually. It's the first time we've got a version of Squeeze out. We had John Bentley back on bass, who was fantastic, and we had no Chris Difford.
That's right, I know. Well, that's his prerogative.
It is.
But he allowed you to license the name, didn't you? Give us a number then. Who's go is it? Sure, Glenn.
I'm going to go for 7.
Number 7. Okay, number 7. Oh, number 7's a lot of fun. Okay, number 7 is good because it's Bowie. While we're celebrating Squeeze and their Uber, so.
Oh.
Oh, I know. And so just have a little of this. Ladies and gentlemen. Chris Difford, Glenn Tilbrook, bring you Starman. You know what he says here, if you listen to it? This is, he says, shut that door. If you listen, that's what he says. Here we go.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on the radio, oh, oh.
Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, lot of soul, he said. And then the loud sounds, they seemed to fade.
Yeah, well, the words would be handy.
Fade, fade, fade. Came back like a slow voice on a wave of
There were no DJ, that was hazy cosmic jive.
Here we go.
There's a song well into the rainbow.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Who have you two met that you actually thought, well, if I don't do anything else, at least I met them? Did you know Bowie or meet Bowie? Maybe you, Chris.
Yeah, I met him a couple of times. We did some shows with him in America. In America, we did the Glass Spider tour or some of those shows.
Did you?
Yeah.
I had no idea you did that. How was he? Did you actually get to meet him? Because that doesn't mean you hang around the day.
Well, it was very busy backstage. So I remember the first show that we did. Peter Frampton was in the band, and when we came off, we had a blinding gig. I mean, people were like really going for Squeeze. When we came off, I remember there was an arch of people from the crew and the band applauding us as we walked off, and I was really touched by that. It meant that they'd sort of taken us on board, you know.
Man. And did you meet him at all, Glenn, Bowie? Did you ever pay to go to see him?
Did I ever? No, I didn't, actually.
You played the Lewisham Odeon, you know.
I know. I just didn't get that at the time. Took me a while.
Who did you pay to go to see?
The Lewisham Odeon, I paid to see T-Rex, I paid to see The Faces, and we got to play there, which was fantastic. The Faces, were great. They were my main inspiration as a band when I was growing up.
Now, we'll get to the business.
I literally lost my hat at the Lewisham Odeon. I had a hat on stage, and I threw it into the audience. I mean, I threw it.
Reckless, away. Yeah.
And then about 3 or 4 years ago, it was on eBay.
No!
Yeah, Chris Difford's hat as worn at the Lewisham Odeon.
And did it reach double figures?
I don't know.
Wow! Couldn't have been so incurious not to see how much money it was worth.
Yeah.
Let Bowie out the way. I'm going to choose the next one now, because let's do one of yours again. Okay, and all right, here's one of yours. It's just slightly off, isn't it? That's the beauty of karaoke. It's slightly... Be fair, these fellas have got to get straight on to doing, you know, craft work after this, so...
Yeah, this is in the lunchtime break.
It is.
There's a stain on my notebook where your coffee cup was.
Oh, I'm going to belt up. Give us a little bit. It's going to sound great.
And there's ash in the pages. Now I've got myself lost.
So your pipes, they, I've said this to you in private before now, they've not altered.
No.
And yet it's natural, isn't it? You don't have to do anything with it.
I keep on waiting for it to go, but it's still there, thank goodness.
But your voice hasn't... You weren't trained, you don't do any of the exercises you're supposed to do.
No, just... I don't. But I'm lucky, I sing in the right way, apparently, so I've been told. So, yeah. You know, my voice is in good shape.
See, your album...
Don't you talk about my voice.
No, your album. Well, actually, I will, because, look, it is... because you've both made solo albums, which a lot of people don't know... which equally are... Well, here's Cowboys Are My Weakness by you, Chris.
Cowboys are my weakness. I act all weak and coy. My heart has a flutter. Words start to stutter. I'm crazy for the boy.
And there's the irony of the stutter again.
Yeah.
Did it take you a long time, I think, to step up to the mic yourself?
Yeah, I was really reluctant to do it. And Francis Dunnery, who produced the record, sort of prodded me into doing it, and I just didn't have the confidence in those days. And now it's completely different. I enjoy it a lot. And as you can hear, I've got the technique of holding the top of my nose when I'm singing, and it gives me that tone. unique.
This is a great track, the great solo albums. If people don't just saying it, it's one of Glenn's. This is Black Sheep, which.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the great, and I won't say lost, squeeze.
And the great thing is we do these in a squeeze set now, and it just works.
Well, let's hear a little bit of this.
Out into the pasture, I wander, but I won't get any sleep.
So you've got, what, five solo albums?
Yeah, you're right.
You're five. You're four.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you're four. Is there, and you say you can interchange them in and out the set without...
Yeah, it works really well.
It
really does.
Okay.
It's what's great about getting squeezed back together and playing... Like Cowboys Are My Weakness is such a great song. It's,
yeah.
And I think that we don't feel proprietorial over each other's solo material. It's just all...
No, neither should you. That's the thing. When I make my compilations, they sit right in there. And the amount of people go, oh, what album's this on? And when you say the solo albums, it's a curse and a blessing because your strong solo stuff is never going to have the Squeeze brand on it.
That's
and therefore people didn't hear it. But they're all there. You're, of course, we're sitting here talking like old friends. I'm forgetting to mention, it's unlikely you would have come in without the microphones and the aerial on the roof, because where are you playing? Where can people see you?
Well, we've got, we're doing a Nordoff Robbins gig. it's Nordoff Robbins Day on the 18th of June, and Squeeze are playing in London at a venue that we're not allowed to mention. But if you go on the Squeeze official website, you'll see a link to a competition to get tickets for it.
Okay.
And all the money goes to the Nordoff Robbins. And there are lots of other bands playing around the country on the same day in small venues like Muse and all sorts of bands. So it's going to be a really special day.
And about beyond that, are you doing any... you're going back to the States, actually. Are you playing here anywhere else?
Loads of festivals.
Yeah, we've got Big Theory, Latitude, Camp Festival, Carfest, North and South. And Chris and I play at the Mid-Act Theatre in Cornwall, probably the best open-air theatre in Britain, next Saturday.
Okay, man.
As long as it's not raining.
Let's do a couple of some fun with these before we go again. So I'll give you the words over. The first one, we'll do these as quick as we can. We've only got a couple of minutes. Subterranean Homesick Blues. There we go. Oh, yeah, Subterranean Homesick Blues. Come on, there we go. I'll join you in on that, ladies and gentlemen. Squeezing Subterranean Homesick Blues. Here we go.
Johnny's in the basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement, thinking about the government. Man in the trench coat, patch up, laid off. Says he's got a bad cough, wants to get paid off. Look out, kid, there's
something
that
you did. They changed his cake. The karaoke bloke didn't play it. And I noticed you didn't join in. You're not a Dylan fan.
Hey?
You're not a Dylan fan, you.
Dylan?
Yeah. All right, let's go to Saint Pierre then. We'll finish off to celebrate the day of Eurovision. We'll do Cliff's congratulations. What? Well, if you're too good for congratulations, then
something's wrong.
Here we go. There's your lyrics for congratulations. Please feel free at home.
You can always tell a hit when there's a bass drum beat right at the beginning of it.
Do you want one of these, Lynn? Come on, you can sing this. Here we go. Everybody can join in on this because you're never going to get a chance to sing with Squeeze again. Here we go. Congratulations.
Congratulations and celebrations when I tell everyone that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be.
Glenn, take it.
Who would believe that I could be happy and contented? I used to think that happiness hadn't been invented.
But that was all
days before I met you. When I let you walk into my heart.
Everybody!
Congratulations!
That has been Glenn Tilbrook and Chris Stefford. Squeeze are back on tour. Go to the website for the secret gig. Apologies for Glenn's stutter. What are you going to do about it? It's an affliction. It's a curse. And it comes and it goes. Thank you very much indeed.
Jubilations all round. Jubilations.
We'll be right back.
On digital, online, smartphone and tablet. This is BBC Five Live.